Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at ablazechurch.org.
Quick recap. Mark is one of the four Gospels. He is a gospel writer that wants the readers to learn things fast. He always says, immediately, immediately. It's the shortest of the Gospels. Mark starts out with Jesus being baptized in the wilderness, and after 40 days ends up in a synagogue with a group of people, and he casts out a demon. The demon says, "What have you to do with us, Son of the Most High?" Jesus says, "Be quiet." He casts out that demon. He heals many people. In his hometown, people are surrounding him and pressing in on him. And he has to go off to a place where he can spend time with the Heavenly Father. Then a leper appears in chapter 1 and teaches us how to pray when we have a request. If it is your will. In chapter 2, Jesus shares with us synonyms that he wants to be known by, like the Son of Man, flesh and blood, you might say, the physician, the bridegroom, that means we're the bride, and the Lord of the Sabbath. In chapter 3, Jesus warns us about sinning against the Holy Spirit. There were Pharisees and scribes and unbelievers who looked at Jesus, who healed someone, and said, "That's bad." And when Jesus would cast out a demon, they would say, "That's terrible. It is by the prince of demons that he does this," meaning they called God Almighty on earth, Jesus Christ, Satan. Wow. And Jesus warns them to be careful. You don't want to sin against the Holy Spirit, who is telling you just the opposite. You know the scriptures. You know what the Messiah is supposed to do. Then Jesus speaks in parables. Why? To explain things to everyone. And we learned about the key to the parables. The key to the parables, the key that opens the door to the parables, is the Holy Spirit. We learned in chapter 4, it's the Holy Spirit that convicts you of your sin. It is the Holy Spirit that shows you your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the answer to your sin and the power of the devil in your life. And then the Holy Spirit moves you forward to want to learn more about what Scripture says, learn more about Jesus. It is the Holy Spirit that will move you to able to understand what the parables are all about. Yeah. Well, we are now going to move into chapter 5 of Mark, but chapter 4 ends like this. Jesus tests the disciples if they were going to listen to him. We'll go to the other side of the lake, and they get all fearful because the wind and the waves come up, and Jesus stands up, remember? He calms the wind and the seas. Yeah, and they say, "Who is this guy?" Well, one of the things I want you to take home from this, okay, from last week, is when it comes to climate control, it's in the hands of Jesus. Take that home with you. Think about that. It wasn't in the hands of the disciples. All right, chapter 5, before we get into chapter 5, a little icebreaker, a little thing to get you ready for chapter 5. You know that Adam and Eve in the garden sinned, right? God said, "Don't eat of that fruit of the tree." And they sinned. God comes up to Adam and says, "Adam, what have you done?" You know who Adam blames? "The woman you gave me." He blames God. "You gave me this woman." God looks at Eve and says, "What is this you have done?" You know what Eve says? "The serpent, that snake deceived me." You know, God never turns to the snake and says, "What have you done?" You ever wonder why? I'll tell you. because that snake did not have a leg to stand on. Thank you for not moaning. All right. Got another one. I believe every demon or evil spirit in the Bible, whenever it's represented, you should be thinking of a fat, chubby demon. You know why? Because demons abhor. They want nothing to do with exorcising. Oh, now you moan and boo. In chapter 5, it is Jesus who exorcises thousands of demons. Thousands and thousands of demons. Let's dig into this. Chapter 5. They came to the other side of the sea, meaning after calming the wind and the waves, the disciples, all upset, they finally crossed the lake. So this took place right away to the country of the Gerasenes. Who are the Gerasenes? Jewish community. And, verse 2, when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. You go from the willies of the wind and the seas to the willies of a demon-possessed man. 3, he lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. Verse 4, for he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles into pieces. Supernatural strength. No one had the strength to subdue him. Humanly possible, you couldn't subdue him. Who walks onto this scene but Jesus, who is more powerful than this man? 5. Night and day among the tombs and the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. Everybody is, he's helpless. There's nothing we can do about this. We've tried to chain in and shackle him. It's impossible to defeat this guy. All right, 6. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. Now, you don't get the sense of the Greek here. Let me tell you what the Greek is. He ran and worshiped before Jesus. What does worship mean? To fall down. To prostrate yourself before Jesus. Last night I was talking to the worship team and I said, you know, worship is fine. We use that term a lot, but we should think of more things sometimes when we use instead of the term worship, because we don't always bow down, do we? We are Christians who can celebrate. We can sing. We can sit in his grace and in his presence. And when we humble ourselves and admit our sin, that we're not perfect, now that we are going to die, okay? We can receive his forgiveness, but not these demons. We can review, we can honor, we can give thanks. There's so much more when it comes to what we do here. But know this, the demon worshiped Jesus. Doesn't mean he was saved. All right. It means he fell down before him. 7. And crying out, now notice this, with a loud voice, he said, what have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Let me tell you, this demon-possessed man is doing a lot better than the people in that country. 1, worship Jesus, fall down before Jesus, and they know exactly who Jesus is. The Son of the Most High God, Yahshua, God's salvation. Jesus in English. Wow. But notice what he says. I want you to swear, abjure you by God, Elohim, do not torment me. Now, why would the devil say to Jesus, do not torment me? He knew it is Jesus who could. But now let me share with you the other Gospels, Luke and Matthew, or Matthew and Luke. Matthew says this, the demon says, do not torment me before my time. Luke says, the demon says, do not throw me in the abyss, the pit, before my time. What's this about before my time? All right, let me give you a brief history. In the beginning or soon after that, the devil is thrown out of heaven by Michael the archangel and all his demons. They roam the earth to tempt people. They tempted, Satan tempted Adam and Eve in the garden, that serpent. And that's what he did for around 4,000 years. When Jesus came, his life, his death, and his resurrection, he became victorious over sin, death, and the power of the devil for us. Remember Jesus a couple weeks ago says, you can't enter a strong man's house and plunder the goods unless you first bind the strong man. Who's the strong man? The devil. Who's the one who binds him? Jesus. When Jesus came, he bound the devil. Okay? And the devil isn't going to be tormented until the end of the world. That's when the devil is thrown into the pit, the abyss, and tormented forever. Here on earth, the devil is not tormented. And these demons are acknowledging their future. They know it. They're saying, have you come to torment us before our time? Don't throw us into the abyss, the pit, before our time. All right. Jesus came and bound the devil so that he cannot prevail against the church. Now, it seems like Jesus is casting out a demon every 6 hours. But why not today? Why not in America? Well, the predominance of the church. There's a church on every corner in some areas of this town. A lot of people are baptized, okay? But in third world countries, where the Christian church is not predominant, there's a lot of demon-possessed people. Okay, so there's a difference between demon possession, control of the body, and demonized, seeing demons, and demons trying to steer you away. This person was demon-possessed. Jesus is stronger. He cast out this demon, okay? That's why Jesus sent the disciples out with this power, to cast out demons. They were going out, if I dare say, to a third world area where the church, the Christian church, is not predominant. It's the Christian church that casts out demons. Okay? So, the devil is bound. From the first coming of Jesus to the second coming of Jesus is a millennium. It's a period of time where the church reigns. And Jesus, in the Gospels, makes it perfectly clear. This is how it's going to end. When I come again, it'll be like a thief in the night. And when I come, I will gather up everyone. There will be a great white throne judgment right after a tribulation. And then the world comes to an end. Nowhere does Jesus mention a 1,000-year reign of Jesus on earth. There are teachings out there that go like this. When Jesus returns, he's gonna bring up everybody into heaven, and then Jesus on earth is gonna reign over property. Let me remind you, property for 1,000 years. And he's gonna do it with people who've been beheaded for 1,000 years. But Jesus never mentions that. Where does that come from? One passage in Scripture out of 100 that says beheaded people will be resurrected with Christ and reign for 1,000 years. That's in Revelation 20, verse 4. What is a millennium? The reign of Christ between first and second coming. Okay? Revelation is a book of figurative language. What does it mean those who have died, beheaded, will reign with Christ? Folks, that's you and I today. We reign with Christ. We are between the first and second coming. The church reigns, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. That's why we must go casting out demons in third world countries, wherever, and sharing the good news. I know that was quick. If you have any questions about this, after service, you can ask me. Let's continue. What happens? Verse 8. So you know why? Don't torment me. That happens at the end of time when the devil and his angels and anybody he wants to follow will be thrown in the abyss where they're tormented forever. All right, verse 8. For he was saying to him, come out of this man, you unclean spirit. And Jesus asks him, what is your name? Listen, prior to this, Jesus never allows a demon to speak. What have you to do with us, Holy One of God? Be quiet. Now Jesus has a conversation with the devil in front of all these people. Why does he do that? Because he's going to kill two birds with one stone. He's multitasking. All right, let's see how he does it. 9, and Jesus asked him, what is your name? He replied, my name is Legion, for we are many. What's Legion mean? 4,000 to 6,000. Let me say it again. 4,000 to 6,000 demons. Now you know why he could break chains. All right, 10. Now you know why they say this. And he begged him earnestly. This is the first begging out of three. The first begging out of three. And this demon begged him not to send him out of this country, out of this land. Meaning, Luke and Matthew, we learn, they don't want to be sent to the pit, the abyss. They wanted to stay on earth. Let me say it in a way you understand. They wanted a leg to stand on. All right. Jesus grants them that. 12. And they begged him. Okay, 11, I missed it. Now a great herd of pigs were feeding there on the hillside. Okay. And they begged him, saying, send us to the pigs. Let us enter them. They wanted the leg to stand on. Now, why are these pigs so important? Listen, this was a community of Jewish people. Leviticus 11, we are told they should have nothing to do with pigs. They should not eat pork. And they should not touch pork or pigs. Why? I mean, what does God have against bacon and ham and pulled pork barbecue? Nothing. He wanted his people to stand out and be different. And so in the Old Testament, he says, you are my people. You are different. Don't eat pig. That's simple. Don't eat that fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If God says it, that settles it, whether I believe it or not. He wanted to test his people. Are they going to listen to him? These Gerasenes were stubbing their nose at God. They were saying, we don't have to listen to you. We can make money with these hogs. The Roman people love them, and we love them, and we're going to touch them and eat them and celebrate pig. And God says, oh, yeah? Watch this. I'll remove the demon-possessed spirits from this man, and I'll remove the pigs from your life. Notice how he does it. And 12, and they begged him, saying, send us to the pigs, let us enter them. Jesus knew exactly what these demons would do, so he gave them permission. And the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, that's 2 to 3 evil spirits per pig. Wow, what a story. Numbering about 2,000 rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the sea. Jesus knew they were going to do that. Because what do demons do? Try to destroy the body they are demonizing or possessing. What does the devil want to do in your life? Destroy the temple of the Holy Spirit. So they run and they commit suicide. This is the second stone. Okay, the second bird killed with that one stone. Wow. What a dramatic story. All right, we're going on. 14. The herdsmen fled and told it in the city and the country. Meaning, wow, we got no more pigs to take care of. We better tell those who own these pigs and those of our countrymen. And the people came to see what it was that had happened. Now notice this. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had the legion, sitting there, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. First of all, they were afraid of the demon-possessed man. Couldn't do anything with him. And now this demon-possessed man is healed. He's in his right mind. He's no longer naked. And he's sitting with Jesus. And instead of fearing the demon-possessed man, they now fear Jesus. This is not the fear of respect and honor. It is the fear of, if he doesn't get out of here, we're doomed. It is the fear of, if he did this to the demon-possessed man, what might he do to us? The fear was, we'll be broke. We'll have no income. Instead of praising Jesus for what he did for this poor man, they want him gone. Instead of seeing the goodness that Jesus caused, they see evil. You want to talk about the hardening of the heart? You want to talk about the sin against the Holy Spirit? That's why Jesus was warning people. How can you do this? Now the second begging takes place. 17. It is not the demons. The demons begged him. Now the people with a hardened heart begged Jesus. And they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. Wow, think about it. Don't cast us out of this region, this land, the demons ask. These people of flesh and blood, seeing Jesus and good, say, Jesus, get away from us. They want to cast Jesus out of the land. Wow. Talk about a hardened heart. And this is what we learn about our God. He will not mess with the freedom of the will. If you want God to leave you alone, you ask him to leave you alone and he will. You have that power. Yeah. God will not mess with the freedom of the will. They want him gone. Jesus says, all right, I'll leave. And he begins to get in the boat. And then the third begging takes place. 18. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with the demons begged Jesus now, begged him that he might be with him. Jesus, can I go with you? You know what a transformed heart is? A heart that's been melted by the gospel and the working and the presence of Jesus Christ. You want to be with him. That's why the Holy Spirit moves you to come to church on Sunday morning, because you want to be with God. You want to be with his people. You want to hear the words and the story, and you want to bring it all together. what God is doing. And he just wants to be with Jesus. Notice what Jesus says. To those before him in Capernaum, he healed somebody. Don't tell anybody. Cast out a demon. Don't tell anybody. Why? Because in his hometown, they would press against him, force him into the water. They even threatened to crush him. And the more people would want to force him to be a king before his time. And so he'd say, don't tell anybody. But here, they were in another part of the country, across the Sea of Galilee. Okay? And he was now leaving with his disciples. In Capernaum, he's there with the disciples. Here, he's leaving with his disciples. And he leaves a teacher, a preacher, just the opposite of his hometown. Why? Because he always leaves a witness. 19, and he did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell how much the Lord, how much God has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. He now leaves and says, all right, you're the one. You're the witness. Go and tell. The disciples and I are leaving. You're the one. Let me tell you, if you're here this morning, if you're listening to my voice, if God has transformed you from the inside out, if he has shown mercy upon you in any way in your life, guess what? He wants you to go into your country, your home, your family, with your children and your grandchildren, and tell what God has done for you. You all have a story. You all have history. His story is your story. He has redeemed you. He has given you the Holy Spirit, shown you your sin and your Savior, and he's moving you with these words to go and tell. Let me ask you a question. Would you like to be marveled? I know that sounds a little odd. Would you like people to marvel at you? Let's see what happens with this young man, or whoever he is, young, I don't know, old, I don't know, when he just tells people about what Jesus has done for him. 20. And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And everyone marveled. You want people to marvel at you? Start talking about Jesus and what he has done for you. You want your children and grandchildren to marvel at you? Talk about Jesus, what they've done, what he has done for you. You see, people will look at you and what you say and how you live your life, action, words, and deeds, and they will marvel and go, wow, what makes that person different? Oh, that person talks about Jesus as if Jesus makes a difference. Oh, he must in their life. That's the marvel Jesus wants from the world out there to see in you and me. The joy, the love of Jesus. He has just saved me and given me mercy. And I want everybody. You know, nobody marvels at my ability to play basketball. You realize that? Not that they ever did. But at the end of my life, I want people to marvel at Pastor Dreyer, that he loved the Lord and loved to talk about Jesus. And you could see the joy of the Lord on his heart. Wouldn't that be a great thing for people to marvel at? May it be so with all of us here as we leave God's house and celebrate what he has given to us. Amen.